Insurance agents from around the world, welcome to the Insurance Guys Podcast. My name is Scott Howell, your fearless host and leader, insurance agency owner and insurance evangelist for iProtect Insurance and Financial Services, based out of Huntsville, Alabama. And before we get started on today's episode, please help me welcome. He is a 6'3" sophomore from Mobile, Alabama, Parade First Team All-American, Rivals 5-star recruit. He is a fantastic insurance agent and a great American. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand and welcome the incomparable Mr. Bradley Flowers. How are you, Bradley?
It's an election day, and I came here instead of going to vote, so I'm going to have to go all the way home.
My man's got priorities, folks. Okay. My man's got priorities. I'm going to tell you what, I'm still not out of the running for Bradley to be my damn campaign manager to run for governor of the state of Alabama, and when that happens, y'all get ready. It's going to get real, real around here. There's going to be some folks stepping and fetching.
Will you legalize a lottery?
You've got to be my campaign manager if I do it, though. Legalize the lottery? Hell, I'm going to legalize everything. I don't care. These folks, free will, baby. You can do whatever the hell you want.
You legalize heroin, and all of a sudden there's an influx of people from Washington State moving to Alabama.
I'm telling you, man, I
no offense to our friends from Washington State.
Based on about the last three or four folks we've had be president of the United States and governor of the state of Alabama, you know, for those of you that don't know, we've got Meemaw Ivy. And let me tell you something about Meemaw Ivy. Makes the best Toll House chocolate chip cookies in the governor's race across the country. If you think your governor can beat our governor in making Nestle Toll House chocolate chip cookies, you're wrong, folks. She's about 87 years old.
You've always made that joke, and I've made that joke one time to someone.
And they went, "Shh."
And it happened to be someone that knew her very well.
Well.
And I got scolded.
Oh, I wish I'd been around. I would have stopped
it was
that.
A
right?
Client, actually.
I want to apologize to you, sir, for not laughing at that, because that is hilarious, first of all. And second of all, there is no possible way that anybody could do any worse than the rest of this bunch has been doing. I mean, it's impossible. But anyway, Bradley, big day of podcasting yesterday. Going to head north here in a little while. Go back to the house.
I always try to get you out of here by lunch.
Well, I appreciate that, because there ain't no telling what I got to do when I get back. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Maybe everything's fine. Everybody else gets to go away for months and months and months and talk about how, you know, how everything ran smooth and it was fine. And I get back and all hell breaks loose and I've got to do stuff I don't want to do, but I guess I need to figure out a different way to run my operation. We got a very special guest this morning. And by the way, before we get started, Bradley, if you ever schedule another podcast at 7:30 in the morning, I am going to run over you with my truck outside.
That was Clint's idea.
Oh, not my bad. Sorry, Clint.
I take full responsibility for that.
Holy shit, dude. I've got the energy level right now of a guy that's about to play six games of chess. I mean, I can't. Whew, it's tough. But we're proud to have you on this podcast. I want to give you the introduction you've always deserved. And I think this podcast, Bradley, you said it to me outside, is going to be very interesting for these insurance agents. Yep. So without further ado, he currently resides in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he has one beautiful baby, Zoe, age 8. He is a graduate of Penn State University with a business management degree. Same. And a career that spans a long length of time. And I don't want to go through all of it, but obviously a resume of success. But he's been, you know, same year I started with State Farm, he started with State Farm. I was an associate agent making, everybody, hold on now. I want everybody to know what I made my first year, W-2 for Scott Howell, framed in my office, $16,128 my first year. I literally would have made more money if I would have been working the fries at McDonald's that year. But that's another story for another day. He's been everything from a claims intern, a fire underwriter, agency owner, independent agency owner, worked with State Auto. That's a whole other story in and of itself here lately with State Auto. I've got some stories there. Sales advisor evolved. And today, he is in charge of scouting and ventures for State Farm Insurance. Now, everybody that heard that's probably about to turn the radio up, because that's interesting to say the least. And I've got so many questions to ask. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my profound honor today to introduce to you, first time guest on the IGP, Mr. Clint Hawk. How are you, Clint?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it. And one real small correction there. Otherwise, my peers at State Farm will get angry at me. I'm a part of the Scouting and Ventures team at State Farm. I've got a great team of folks around me, and I'm just one of many there.
Well, I you're right, and I apologize. I should have mentioned that. But let's get into it, man. I think these agents that are listening to this right now are like, what in the hell? You know, it sounds like we're talking baseball now instead of insurance. But talk to our agents out there, because we have a ton of independent agents that listen to this show. But we got a pretty good bit of State Farm agents, Allstate agents, Farmers agents that listen as well. I want to kind of deep dive today into what that is about and give them a flavor of what you guys are doing over there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of carriers that are taking similar approaches, but this idea of saying, hey, the early 2000s, when all of a sudden venture started getting interested in the insurance world, and the early venture plays was outside money and outside startups coming in saying, we're going to replace agents. We're going to replace carriers. This system's broken and we can do it better, easier, faster. Mm. And we watched that play out, and we watched those early ventures struggle significantly. But what it did do was light a fire under our industry. And now we've got the next generation of agents that are more tech focused and are balancing out traditional insurance along with building out technology inside of their offices. And you see carriers doing the same thing that says, look, if we let somebody else dictate our future, then we're not in control of our own destiny. And so some of the ways to manage your future and future-proof your business is to do things like set up a corporate venture arm. And State Farm has a $200 million fund where we look to invest into insurtechs, into products that'll help us as a carrier, into products that'll help insureds, and even into products that are insurance adjacent, but can have an impact on, you know, mitigation or restoration for consumers that have something that's an insured insurance-related experience. So the idea there is to be able to balance that, hey, we've got to deliver every single day off of our insurance products, but we also have to look forward and how to be innovative, because if we don't, somebody else absolutely is.
So is the intention more finding companies that can ultimately help you guys, or is it more to make a return on the fund? What's kind of the, you know, what's a good win for a company you guys throw some money into?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a dual mandate there. Obviously, you never want to make an investment without expecting to get a big win, right?
And even though there will be some that aren't.
Yep, absolutely. And that's the venture game, right? It's you hear the rule of thumb, 1 in 10, get that 10x return. You get a couple that get a 3-4x return. And then you get a couple that just break even and a couple that are losers. And it's tough to be able to guess which opportunities, but that's why that venture industry exists for those investments and those opportunities. So there's the play there that says, yeah, let's see if we can win in this venture space. But the other side of it is also saying, look, as we come across these companies, as we focus in this innovation space, that opens up new avenues or new ways of thinking that a traditional carrier may not have seen before. And so the best win-win for us is, yeah, we find a company we can invest in, but we also find an organization that brings a value to our core products and that we can use as either a partner or a customer. But they're not contingent upon each other. They can be independent and it still be a successful relationship.
What are you guys looking for? Because it's like Scott and I have invested probably in, I would say, 8 insurtechs between us. And I was telling somebody the other day, of the pitch decks I've seen as an investor that I've turned down, I may have turned them down for various reasons, right? But it's so funny. It's kind of like when you don't hire someone at your company for a specific, or let me back up. Let's say somebody comes to work for you and they don't work out. Like everybody who's worked for Portal that hasn't worked out for various reasons. But then once we kind of peel the onion back after they're gone and can look at it from a 30,000 foot view, it was like, oh, they actually didn't fit this specific core value, right? We could point out commonalities. And same thing with companies that we've passed on, or at least I've passed on. I was telling somebody the other day, there's been various reasons, but the commonality they all had is they didn't have insurance experience either at the leadership level or the investor level. And they were like, hey, we just want your money. We don't really want advice. And so that's a commonality amongst all the companies I've declined. So what are you guys looking for? And maybe what are some of those commonalities you've seen either on the good side or on the bad side?
So where you guys have, I think, a bit of an advantage is you have a deep expertise at that agency level with the particular lines of business that you operate in. And so you can have a really niche focus. At State Farm, we've got 100 plus different products, and we're, you know, the largest personal lines P&C carrier out there in the marketplace, but we also play in life and health. We play in financial services, right? So we've got a really broad mandate there. So when we look from an investment standpoint, it's across the board, right? We're looking at third-party data. We're looking at AI. We're looking at general insurtech, fintech. So those could be things like embedded plays, mobility and safety, telematics, real estate, senior living, AR, VR. I mean, it crosses the spectrum of plays there. And so that can be a really challenging mandate to say, hey, we've got to have the expertise to be able to successfully play in all of those spaces. That being said, State Farm's invested, you know, real resources and team and brought on talented folks to be able to do that successfully and do that well. To the second half of your question, you know, what's some of those commonalities? I think I'll pick the biggest buzzword right now, whether you're an agency or a carrier, insurance or somewhere else, it's AI, right? Everybody's interested in AI and is it going to replace and how do you use it?
It's funny to see the trends because like 3 years ago, it was data, 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 and then it became VAs and now it's AI.
Yep, absolutely. And we can dig into that a little bit further because I've got a whole lot of thoughts there.
I believe you hit all three of those subjects, actually. I didn't do that on purpose.
Yep. On purpose. Yes, absolutely. But I would say the biggest thing right now from a commonality standpoint is the shiny new object. Everybody tries to rush to get there as fast as possible for a product to put on the shelf. And when you're rushing, you take shortcuts or you cut corners. Yep. In our case, you know, OpenAI with ChatGPT, all of a sudden when that became accessible by developers and they could just reskin ChatGPT and put a fancy UI or UX on it and say, hey, here's our product. Well, when you're looking at that from a venture standpoint, you start coming across a lot of companies that say, oh yeah, we're AI powered, we're AI driven. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you're using the same model that's generic across the board as everybody else.
Literally smoke and mirrors.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's a standard piece across any areas that smoke and mirrors, right? Marketing and sales is great. Telling a vision and a story is great. But having the operators, and Bradley, you said the insurance expertise in-house, to me, it's having the operators inside of a startup's organization that can get down into the nuts and bolts and can speak to the strengths and weaknesses of the organization and speak about it frankly. That's the piece that, at least personally, I look for that says, hey, this is something of real value and substance versus being something that's just trying to be a shiny object to get quick venture capital or get a quick exit before somebody realizes how little's there in substance.
That's a great point.
How long do you guys typically, I'm sure it varies, but from a due diligence standpoint, when you're looking at investing in whatever the product is it a pretty lengthy time that you guys do a lot of, you know, looking into any particular company that you feel like is a hand in glove that would fit well with State Farm?
And what rounds are you guys strictly a series?
Hey, can we invest?
Hey, we got a website out there. You know, if you look up State Farm Ventures, you'll go right out to our website. You'll see where we've made key investments. You'll see, you know, how we think about our process. But yeah, we will make investments from, you know, seed round up. We don't have to lead rounds, but we can. And we normally write somewhere up to $5 million checks. It's obviously on a case-by-case basis and where the company's at.
That's the same level Scott and I do.
Yeah, right.
Sounds about right. I mean, it's average, right? Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who the largest investor in bonds in the U.S. is? Well, first is China and Japan probably lead the way. But then after that, insurance carriers. Absolutely. Insurance carriers invest hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars into bonds. They take float, they invest it. Bonds are typically a safe vehicle to invest in, you know.
This is not investment advice.
Not, you know, making as much of a return now with the interest rates have gone up.
Bills are doing pretty good.
Yeah. But typically as interest rates go up, bond investment returns go down. You know, I have this grassy knoll theory that, you know, some carriers may be holding on to money as long as they can to make sure that money stays invested as long as it possibly can. But I won't get into that today because I don't want to make anybody mad.
Talk a little bit about, you know, you've got been at some really good companies. When your advisor evolved, Chris Langille's awesome, Beatomic, Seth Sarimba, Wesley Anderson.
Yeah, you have a...
The one that sticks out to me is Lending Tree Quote Wizard. What were you doing there?
Yeah, absolutely. So my career path has been driven by kind of two core philosophies. The first one, actually, Bradley, you made reference to in a Twitter post the other day about InsurTech Bros and their belief of...
Bradley's shaking stuff up on Twitter now. He ain't afraid.
Really, Clint, I'm like this close to monetization. So I'm like going after everybody. That way I get the engagement.
But I quite honestly, I don't think your statement goes broad enough, right? You talk about InsurTech Bros trying to come in and disrupt the industry. But if they've never spent any time in your agency or any agency, they're not going to understand truly, you know, what it takes to be disruptive, so to speak.
The tweet was, I said, if any of the InsurTech Bros would come into my agency for a week, they would realize that disruption is a lot further away than they think they are, than they think it is, and they have barely cracked the surface.
Mm.
And that was not an offer for anybody to come do that, by the way, unless you want to bring equity with you in your company.
Yeah.
I'll do that.
There you go.
There you go.
And I would say that statement applies to anybody sitting in a seat in our industry. If you've always been in the agency space and you've never sat in a carrier seat, but you have an opinion about how carriers are doing things, your opinion is going to be incomplete.
It's going to be slanted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you're a carrier trying to do the same thing about agencies, or you're a tech company trying to do the same thing about carriers or the industry as a whole. And so I've looked at that and said, hey, every time I've run into a roadblock, when I had my captive agency, or when I had my independent agency, or when I worked at State Auto, or when I worked at any of the insurtechs that I was a part of building, whenever I'd hit those major roadblocks and I couldn't understand why the person sitting across from me wasn't on the same page and couldn't align, my thought process was, well, let me go do that job. Let me figure that out and understand what those motivations are so I can form a complete opinion and understanding of what's happening around me. And then ultimately that leads to, at some point in my life, I'll figure out what I want to do when I grow up. But I've hit pretty much every major seat in the space. And now I'm learning this ventures and scouting piece as a part of State Farm.
Hey, I'll say this. I really pissed the customer off last week. He caught me in one of my moods, Bradley, calling me to bitch about his rate. And I said, let me explain something to you, buddy. You're looking at this in the micro. My rate went up. Clint, I'm speaking to your point a minute ago relative to, if you're in the agency side and you've never worked on the carrier side, well, I'm kind of speaking from the standpoint of the client side who's bitching about the rate going up. I said, you know, you're looking at this from the micro, but you got to remember something. What all you clients don't understand is when a $75 billion hurricane or a $65 billion wildfire hits out west, you're not putting yourself in the boardroom of XYZ carrier that has to meet Wall Street expectations next month or next year or next quarter. And you're like, all of y'all have this opinion that, well, I didn't have a claim. Why is my rate going up? They're looking at it in the micro, not the macro. And that is so hard, if not impossible, for people to understand.
I had an agent tell me the other day that they had a customer that called about a very minute rate increase. And the day before, the agent had written a check to sponsor that person's son's baseball team.
About right.
Like,
I've had stuff like that happen before.
Yeah, I've had it happen too.
You know, I never completely answered your question, Bradley, around Lending Tree Quote Wizard, but that actually aligns with that writing the check. So the first piece is I want to learn the space. The second piece is that we're a large industry, but a small community. Everybody knows everybody, and it's a degree or two of separation. And so in the Lending Tree Quote Wizard instance in particular, when I started my first independent agency, I had a couple of guys really help me out understand the independent channel, and in particular, understand that whole digital platform channel where you're writing business from online leads and in that digital marketplace. And so I haven't talked to these guys in years and years, but they were brought on to set up a retail agency inside of that LendingTree ecosystem. Mm. And they reached out to me and they were looking for somebody that had engineering expertise and integrating with carrier partners and knew how to talk the carrier language in that space. And when you build those types of relationships in the industry and when people help you out along in your career path and they reach out again, you pick up the phone and you help them build just like they did with you. And so that's where that stop off happened and kind of my career path journey. But yeah, it's a really interesting experience when you build an agency inside of a larger corporation than trying to do it, you know, as a standalone independent agency.
So Bradley, I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
Carrier rep, senior VP hears this podcast and they say, "All right, big boy, I heard you talking on the Insurance Guys podcast. Why don't you come up here and shadow one of our senior vice presidents at XYZ Insurance Carrier?" Would you do it for 2 weeks?
No, not for 2 weeks.
A week?
Maybe.
3 days?
Yeah. It would depend on who it was.
Yeah.
It would depend. I mean, if it's, you know, a bubblegum.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like, "Oh, come to Hippo." Okay, you know. But it would just depend on
the Hippo.
You got to remember.
Hey, what if the CEO of Lemonade called you? 3 days, you get to shadow a senior VP at Lemonade.
If Daniel would do the podcast in exchange for that, I would do that. Or in conjunction with that.
Well, shots fired, folks.
You have to remember, though.
I love Clint's face right now. He's like.
In 2021, I turned down an opportunity to have dinner with Tricia, the CEO of Progressive. And I didn't go.
Well, that wasn't real smart of you to do that. No, I like her. I've been wanting her on the podcast forever. Nobody will get her on here for me.
The reason I didn't go is because I was flying back from Europe the day before, and I still could have made it, but I was like, I don't feel like
it's too much.
So it would just depend on the situation, the context, what's going on here, you know. But Clint, I know that, you know, I went on your website the other day. You guys have a lot of companies on there. I'm gonna ask a two-part question. What's one that really gives you that wow factor with what they're doing, and which one are you the most bullish on doing well in the marketplace?
Well, I wish I could answer that question really, really well. What I will say here is I'm a month and 2 weeks into the new role here, and all of those investments were made significantly before I came on board.
And you probably can't talk about any that you haven't invested in yet. So
yeah,
I'll tell you one you need to really take a hard look at. I'm looking for an investor to invest in iProtect Insurance. It's about $10 million. If you could bring in about $10 million, we could supercharge this growth and get this thing off the ground, Clint.
There you go. Well, hey, just go talk to the CoverDash guys. They're a small business commercial agency that just raised $13.5 million.
Who did that?
CoverDash.
Damn.
Yep. Ralph Patesh and David Vayner. I'm going to mispronounce their last names, but a couple of really smart young guys that figured out how to build a.
Is that the future? Is that the future?
I think there's still a huge opportunity in embedded insurance. And so you talked about, you know, flavors of the year or attractive thing. Data, APIs, embedded insurance plays, while they're no longer sexy to talk about on stage.
Right.
As an industry, we started down that path and then we got distracted by the next shiny object. And those that have stayed focused in that space, the way that consumers operate today, that immediate taking care of their immediate need, the way that they want it taken care of in their flow of daily activities, I think that is that future. Now, you can build that relationship and multi-line and cross-sell, do all those things once they're in your agency. Right. But show them that you can take care of their need in the channel or in the space in which they're living and operating, and you'll win that business over the traditional model.
Bradley, I want to hear your opinion on that. In terms of, I mean, that what he just talked about, that I've never heard of an agency doing something like that. That's pretty interesting that somebody would go out and raise that kind of money to, I guess, supercharge the agency and get it, you know.
Yeah, so we were, Clint, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Mefford and those guys with Coverage Direct, didn't they raise VC money too? They're the only other one I know of.
I don't know for Coverage Direct necessarily. They may have done some like friends and family type of raise or strategics in that way. But I mean, you look at every time you buy a airplane ticket, right? There's embedded insurance right there. We're just so used to it in that specific channel that we don't even see it anymore.
Me and Joey, so Scott and I had dinner with Joey Bouchard from Quotewell last night, and we were talking before you got there, and that's actually what he brought up. And he made a good point, which is very obvious, but he's like, you have to make sure your VCs understand insurance enough, because you don't want them going in there expecting like tech multiples and yep, you know, stuff like that, but they can't understand it too much that you're not as important as you should be.
Right.
You know what I mean? If they understand insurance way more than you do, why do they need you?
Correct.
You know what I mean? It can get a little dicey there. And I have a couple of JVs that I've done where I've tried to make sure that, hey, I'm the insurance guy. That's the piece I'm controlling.
That's my lane. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, I definitely think, you know, money's going to start getting a little cheaper here in the next 12, 18 months, you know. I mean, that may be, Clint, the second company I know of that's raised money this year so far, versus like a couple years ago. Oh, it was like every day you saw a new company. Oh, we raised $65 million, you know.
Right.
So, but we're going to start seeing more of that. So I could see more people going down this path. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to follow. You know, I'd love to invest in something like that.
Yeah. I want to go to the State Farm site and look and see what's on there. That's cool. Hey, Clint, I appreciate you being on the show today, brother. We got to jump off here. I've got a couple of things we need to get done this morning, and I really appreciate you coming on. Bradley, I had something I wanted to tell you. Now I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah.
I got you up here too early.
I love you.
Love you, too.
Guys, you are listening to the Insurance Guys podcast, and we love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for being a part of our family, and we'll see you back here real soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Insurance Guys podcast. If you need to know more about me or you need to get in touch with Scott, you can always reach me at theinsuranceguyonline.com or email me at scott@iprotectinsurance.com. And if you need to get in touch with Mr. Bradley Flowers, go to portalinsurance.com or email him at bradley@portalinsurance.com. Guys, we love you. Thank you so much for listening to our show and being a part of our family. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on the next episode of the Insurance Guys podcast. Take care.